You're listening to The Andy Finn Show, centrally located in America, on the TAFS Radio Network.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show on WEBR Radio, and on June 18th, this is the day that Napoleon was defeated at Waterloo. In 1815, Napoleon met his Waterloo. Of course, that was the first time anybody used that phrase. And it's the birthday of Richard Boone, who a lot of you aren't going to remember, but he starred as Paladin in Have Gun, Will Travel. I used to sit around on Saturday nights as a young boy and, along with my dad, watch Have Gun, Will Travel, followed by Gunsmoke. Those were the days. Good, wholesome, shoot-em-up television. Anyway, let's move back to politics and perception and selective attention. Okay? So, the latest story, and it's going to be very interesting to see the who attends to it and who doesn't. There's a bombshell of a story in the New Yorker this week. And it's written by Seymour Hersh, a pretty responsible, reliable journalist. The conservatives hate him because he reveals what's going on in government. And, of course, it's most of the presidential administrations have been Republican. But he is the guy who revealed the My Lai massacre back in the Vietnam era. And he also reported early on the Abu Ghraib scandal. And I still remember the conversations that he had with Chris Matthews about the Abu Ghraib scandal. You know, when those pictures hit, and the only pictures that we saw in general were the ones where, you know, Iraqi prisoners were piled up naked and handcuffed together in pseudo homoerotic poses and posed naked with women next to him mocking them, women soldiers, and things like that. Two things about that. One, we knew there were worse pictures. Now, this article reveals some pictures that I didn't know were there, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But there were some pictures on the internet, if you went and looked for them, of Iraqi prisoners after they were dead. Okay, they were essentially interrogated to death by whatever method you want to imagine, and however innocent that is, however accidental it was. But we know that people died at the hands of our interrogators. But when you listen to conservative talk radio, Rush Limbaugh being very prominent among this, it was written off. According to Rush, it was no worse than a hazing prank in a fraternity. Right, lining these guys up and taking pictures of them. Now, we now know that there were more serious abuses than that, and I'll get to that in a minute, as I say. But at the time, I still remember how it was handled on shows like Hardball with Chris Matthews. He interviewed Cy Hersh, and when they talked about it, he said, well, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. These guys knew enough to sexually humiliate these Muslims? Because that's what they were doing. The suspicion was, Chris Matthews said it at the time, what were they doing? Were they taking the pictures so they could say to these guys, hey, we're going to take these back to your neighborhoods and show them around, and you'll be humiliated and or worse when you go back there, unless you tell us what we need to know. So they show them, they take the pictures, and then they show them to those detainees to get information, or they show them to others to say, this could happen to you unless you tell us what we want to know. That's the argument that Chris Matthews made. Now, according to the reports that were out at the time, the official view from the Pentagon was, oh, these were just a few wild soldiers getting crazy in the middle of the night. Well, the soldiers had been told to soften these guys up for the real interrogators. These are MPs guarding the prison. And the only person that was convicted, if you remember, high up person, a general, was a reserve general, a reservist. Was her name Janet Lipinski, something like that? And she was demoted, I think. Maybe she was stripped of rank and, I don't know, taken off of active duty, whatever it was. And then the soldiers themselves were all tried and convicted of, most of them, of abusing the prisoners, because you don't get out of the chain of command just because somebody else ordered you to do it. But interestingly, they were not allowed to introduce evidence that said we were ordered from above. So that's the background. And what's interesting, I still remember Chris Matthews talking about it, because I'm sure he and Cy Hersh talked before they went on, and Hirsch told him what he knew. But the bottom line is, what Matthew said is, look, these people from the heartland, soldiers, 20-year-old soldiers coming there from Virginia, from Kansas, how would they know to take dog collars? Where would they get dog collars? Where would they get dogs? How would they know to take pictures of these guys in sexually humiliating positions? Why would it even occur to them to do that? Why not just beat them if you're going to soften these prisoners up? So that was the argument back when this thing broke. And it didn't go any further than that. Well, now, the general who was asked to write up a report, Rumsfeld and the Pentagon, tapped Army Major General Taguba, Antonio Taguba, to write a report. He's a two-star general. He just got plucked out of obscurity, and he was told, we want you to look into Abu Ghraib and write up a report. So he goes into it thinking, well, they really want a report of what happened. No. When he went in to meet with Rumsfeld, he was naive, is what he says. He says, I thought they wanted to know. I assumed they wanted to know. I was ignorant of the setting. This is when he was back in Washington, and he was going into a meeting, a briefing, with Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, and a few other people. General Richard Myers, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Peter Pace, all of that. And as he walked in, Rumsfeld said, here comes that famous General Taguba of the Taguba Report, in a mocking voice. That's what Taguba remembers. Okay? And in the meeting, he was asked, the officials there professed that they were ignorant about Abu Ghraib. Okay. Now, when was this exactly? Let's see. Do we have a date of this meeting? It was May 6. So, in January, he had forwarded information up the chain of command, all the way up through the Pentagon, as high as you need to go. And he figured anybody that wanted to look at it, the Joint Chiefs, Rumsfeld, anybody, he didn't send it directly to them, but he sent it up the chain of command so that everybody in Washington that wanted to see it had it. That was in January. Okay. He filed his completed report in March, his final report, or whatever you want to call it. And then in May, he was in this meeting in Washington. And in this meeting in May, the officials in the room professed to be ignorant about Abu Ghraib. Wolfowitz said, can you tell us what happened? Someone else said, is it abuse or torture? And so Taguba said, I described one example, a naked detainee lying on a wet floor, handcuffed, and with an interrogator shoving things up his rectum. And he said, that's not abuse, that's torture. There was quiet. Now, this is directly from this week's New Yorker, the June 25th, 2007 issue of the New Yorker. Seymour Hersh's article is entitled The General's Report. You can get it on the web. Go to thenewyorker.com. While you're there, look at their caption contest for their cartoon. Anyway, Rumsfeld seemed to be concerned about who leaked the report to the public. He didn't seem to be that concerned about asking follow-up questions about the report. Taguba told Hirsch, Rumsfeld was in denial. All right. So then it goes on. Oh, and by the way, we have videotape. The military has videotape much worse than what they showed us, and pictures much worse than what they showed us. I mentioned the picture I saw on the web of the dead detainee before they shipped him out. Those pictures have been out on the web. People have wanted to see that, have been able to see those kinds of things, people who were interrogated to death. We know there's been some of those, although I don't know. I think at least one situation or two, people were charged with murder. I don't know that they were convicted of anything. But knowing that Taguba, knowing that he had sent this information up the line back in January and that it was given to everybody. In fact, General Myers acknowledged in testimony that he and the secretary up through the chain of command had been given this information. But Rumsfeld went in front of the Senate and House Armed Service Committees the next day after this meeting that I just described. He went on May 7th, and he claimed not to know about the extensive abuse. Now, he'd had a chance to learn about it. Everybody that wanted to learn about it learned about it in January. There were emails that went back and forth. The final report came out in May, and Taguba told Rumsfeld to his face the day before on May 6th. And on May 7th, when he testified, Rumsfeld said, "It breaks our heart that, in fact, someone didn't say, 'Wait, look, this is terrible. We need to do something. I wish we had known more sooner and been able to tell you more sooner, but we didn't.'" So Rumsfeld was asked by the senators when specifically he'd been made aware of the photos. Now, from Taguba's point of view, Rumsfeld known since January. Rumsfeld told the Congress, "There were rumors of photographs in the criminal prosecution chain back sometime after January 13th. I don't remember precisely when, but sometime in that period, January, February, March. The legal part of it was proceeding along fine. What wasn't proceeding along fine is the fact that the president didn't know, and you didn't know, and I didn't know. And as a result, somebody just sent a secret report to the press, and there they are." That's Donald Rumsfeld testifying in front of Congress on June 7th. Taguba was watching the hearings, and what he told Cy Hirsch is that he was appalled. He didn't believe Rumsfeld's testimony was true. Here's a quote from him. "The photographs were available to him if he wanted to see them." And Rumsfeld is famously known as somebody who's very perceptive and stays on top of details. He doesn't let stuff get by him if he wants to know about something. He finds out about it. Okay? And here's the quote from Taguba to Cy Hirsch in this week's New Yorker. Quote, "Rumsfeld is very perceptive and has a mind like a steel trap. There's no way he's suffering from CRS. Can't remember shit. He's trying to acquit himself, and a lot of people are lying to protect themselves." So what's interesting is, I mean, Taguba goes on to further indict Rumsfeld pretty seriously here. Quote, "The whole idea that Rumsfeld projects the, quote, 'We are here to protect the nation from terrorism' is an oxymoron," Taguba said. Quote, "He and his aides have abused their offices and have no idea of the values and high standards that are expected of them, and they've dragged a lot of officers with them." So read the whole article if you get a chance, but basically we're back to, so we got additional information about the Abu Ghraib scandal and the fact that there were pictures a lot worse than what were leaked. And the fact that our military did know up through the chain of command. And let's complete this by saying that you had to know that this is how it went, that these 20-year-old MPs didn't think this stuff up on their own, sexual humiliation as a form of torture, trying to extract information, if that's what they were doing. Right? Let's not forget that the White House went to their legal team, John Woo and Alberto Gonzalez, and they penned a memo that said, "In the post-9/11 world, we can't worry about the niceties of the Geneva Convention. The Geneva Convention is quaint and old-fashioned." And it gave the Bush administration permission to ignore the Geneva Convention. Now, once that memo and that information became public, the Bush administration made inoperative the memo that said we could ignore the Geneva Conventions. Once it saw the light of day, they disavowed it. But John Woo is still on television making claims about national security. The guy's been disgraced. Alberto Gonzalez is still attorney general. And yet these are the guys that put the torture in motion by saying, "We think it's okay from the highest levels of government. We think it's okay." The same attitude came from Rumsfeld. And it goes down through the Pentagon, through the chain of command. Basically, you have to believe, and we don't have exact proof of this yet, but you have to believe that the people at Guantanamo Bay were told it's okay to rough these guys up, get what you need, use extraordinary measures. They used waterboarding, although they won't talk about it. You know they used waterboarding, that is, simulating drowning. Now, The chain of command that's pretty clearly established in previous articles by Cy Hirsch and repeated here is that one particular general, and I forget his name without looking it up, was sent from Guantanamo over to help the interrogations at Abu Ghraib. And that's when they brought in the dogs, and that's when they brought in the sexual humiliation and torture. So there's a pretty clear line directly from the Bush administration down through Guantanamo to Abu Ghraib, and yet that thing was all whitewashed. In fact, in this article in The New Yorker this week, Taguba says that when he asked about looking at how up it went, he was told and warned not to do that. Just go after the people that did the abuse. So it's what I've always believed. You know, we have a lot of respect for our soldiers and for the Pentagon. In a post-9/11 world, we need them badly. But this hero worship of them and the idea that they can do no wrong, and everybody talks about, conservatives all love to talk about, A, how government can't do anything right, but when it comes to the military, they can't do anything wrong. You know, they talk about how magnificently the military performs. And yet, when it comes to other government employees, they can't do anything right, it seems, from the conservative point of view. There has to be a balance somewhere. The post office and the education department and the commerce department are not as bad as conservatives want you to believe. And the military is not as flawless as conservatives want you to believe. We need to get over that and be able to see things realistically. And then beyond that, you cannot have an organization investigate itself. It's just that simple. The AMA shouldn't be allowed to investigate doctors who are accused of malpractice or who have lost malpractice suits and decide whether to revoke their licenses. You've got to have some outside people in there, or the AMA will whitewash some of this. The ABA will whitewash problems with lawyers. The Catholic Church will whitewash problems with bishops and pedophile priests if there isn't some oversight. And by that, I mean lay people should have been on these. There should have been boards of lay people that could have looked at this because they're the ones with the children. And the Pentagon can't investigate itself. You know, conservatives argue that, oh, the liberals don't want to have the warrantless surveillance program. That's right. I want the warrants. I want oversight, and not by the Justice Department, not by the executive branch. You have to have an independent oversight from somebody else. That's what checks and balances are all about. So we'll see how much play this report gets, but Taguba has come out and told us the truth about the investigation into Abu Ghraib, and I don't know if it surprises you at all. I'm afraid I have to admit it doesn't surprise me. And you know who else it shouldn't surprise? It shouldn't surprise the right-wing talk show hosts, but it will, because they are using selective perception and not paying attention to this stuff.
There's a man who leads a life of anger, and every day he gets a little stranger. With every word he speaks, he yells, he whines, he shrieks. Odds are he won't understand tomorrow. Right-wing talk show host, ignorant talk show host, they giving you a time slot and taking away your brain. There's a group who spend their time complaining. It's bad enough they think that's entertaining, but their lenses are so skewed that all you can conclude, they're desperate for some IQ they can borrow. A rigid talk show host, batty talk show host, we're giving you a platform. It's time you were diagnosed.
afraid. Where the easy answers you may find, simple thoughts, they come from simple minds. So notice who they blame and examine all their claims. Odds are you'll see through all their illogic. Right-wing talk show host, pompous talk show host. We've given you a forum, but you're still as deaf as a post. Right-wing talk show host.
We are back on the Andy Finn Show, and today is June 18th, and boy, the world's in a mess. In this last section, we're going to talk a little bit about foreign policy, foreign affairs. Boy, I'm not going to spend too much time in the Middle East, but the Eastern world, it is exploding, as a famous song said years ago. Hamas has taken over the Gaza Strip, and so the Palestinians, we got a rupture in the government there, and the U.S. has decided now it will start resending aid to the Palestinian government because Hamas is essentially out of it. Hamas and Fatah have declared separate governments, and so I guess that's the good news there. But man, we're a long ways from solving anything in the Middle East. You add the problems in Lebanon and our mess in Iraq, and we got some serious, serious problems over there. The only good news, I suppose, is the North Korean situation. They finally got their $25 million. I think it took us 3 months to figure out how to get $25 million to them so they could shut down the nuclear reactor they promised to shut down if they got the money. That seems to me so stupid, but it took 3 months to make this happen. It's so bizarre to me. But we didn't want to give it from a certain bank, and they didn't want to take it from a certain bank, and oh, just so stupid. And I don't know that it'll end up being good news or not, but they've invited people in to see them shut down the reactor, apparently. So we'll see if that actually happens. And then the other piece here is the situation in Iraq. So several things going on. The first is that there is a Pentagon report out. It came out the middle of last week that basically says there's been no drop in violence since the troop buildup started. So when you look at the period of the last few years, in fact, we have had, well, let's just go back to 2007. The highest number of attacks have happened in 2007 of the whole war in Iraq. Okay? And it's broken down in different ways in this Pentagon report, but none of it is good news. And, of course, there are people out there claiming that, oh, no, we've got good news. Things are going better in Anbar province and all this stuff. The problem with that is it's like whack-a-mole. You put more troops in one place, and the fighters go someplace else to fight. Meanwhile, we're in the position of having to arm some of the Sunni groups who were fighting against us as recently as a few months ago because they're willing to go after al-Qaeda in Iraq now. And so we're going to give them arms to do that, and we're hoping they will keep their promise not to attack our troops with them. I don't know if there's a better way, but I do know there's a lot of Iraqi politicians on the Shiite side that say, are you people nuts? Why would you arm them? They're going to come back to haunt us. So we'll see how that goes. Let's see. It also came out that General Peter Pace declined to retire voluntarily. Now, it was interesting how Gates handled it. This is our Secretary of Defense. He basically said, we'd love to put Peter Pace back in, but the confirmation hearing would be too bruising. We were warned by senators of both parties that they would ask tough questions if we renominated him, so we're not going to. We're going to name somebody new. Now, what's interesting about that is that they're essentially trying to blame, well, the talk radio people immediately blame the Democrats. They said, see, if they weren't so partisan, if they would just get behind our generals and our troops in this war, then we could have Peter Pace in place. No, the White House wanted to remove this guy. Don't you get that? And that now we have the confirmation of it, because Pace himself has says, they asked me to voluntarily retire, and I said no. I mean, he was the last of the Rumsfeld generals, and I could understand why Gates would want him out. And plus, he made his share of mistakes. There need to be consequences. So another flap is that Harry Reid criticized him and said he was incompetent. And he was asked, Harry Reid was asked if he thought that Petraeus, General Petraeus, was incompetent, the new guy over in Iraq. And he said no. But interestingly, some of the right-wing bloggers and Fox News reported that he said yes, he was incompetent. They got it. They got the quote exactly backwards, which is interesting. That's your selective attention and perception there. But the bigger issue, and the thing that that just happened, Reid did say that Petraeus was not in touch, because Petraeus said, what did he say? He talked about signs of normalcy. Petraeus said in the USA Today last week that there were astonishing signs of normalcy in the Iraqi capital. Quote, I'm talking about professional soccer leagues with real grass field stadiums, several amusement parks, big ones, markets that are very vibrant. Well, Petraeus probably knows Baghdad better than Harry Reid, so I'm going to take his statements at face value. But Reid basically said, you know, you're not in touch. And I think I'll defend him in this regard. You know, you only need 5%, 10% of a country to be in shambles to have a civil war on your hand. You don't expect to find fighting everywhere. Rumsfeld said this, too. At one point he said, you know, 75% of the country is peaceful. Well, of course it is. That's the way it works in these things. Anyway, the bombshell that got dropped yesterday was Petraeus was being interviewed on... what was he being interviewed on? Was it NBC or Fox News? I've forgotten. I watch them all. It was Fox News Sunday. And he said, you know, insurgencies take, you know, 9 to 10 years to solve. And basically, he says the challenges will last for years. And so he also said, don't expect too much action by September, too much to come out of a September report. So they're already setting the stage, and Tony Snow backed away from the September deadline too. So they're already setting the stage for continuing the surge in the next year and maybe beyond. The difficulty is the Republicans in Congress aren't going to stick with them. Some of them will, but the ones up for election in tight districts, they are not going to stick with the president on this. So we'll see how it all plays out, but we're going to have to wait till next week to hear any more about this. So the Andy Finn Show will be back next week at the same time. Until then, you can read my blog items and hear previous shows and my parody songs at my website at andyfinn.us. Meanwhile, remember, do it. Don't doubt it.